Words on Water.
This episode is brought to you by Arcadis, the leading global design and consultancy firm for natural and built assets. Visit www.arcadis.com. Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. Tons of talk in the water sector about intelligent water systems, about our digital age, and just what this all means for water. So I'm very excited to be joined by Jim Cooper. He's the Intelligent Water Systems Lead at Arcadis. Jim, how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Travis?
I'm doing well. As we prepared for this conversation, I ended up writing down a lot of questions for you because there's just so much going on in this area. So I look forward to going over all this with you. Let's start someplace, I guess, somewhat simple. What does this phrase intelligent water mean to you?
Sure. That's a great question, right? We live in this very unique time of change within the water sector. You know, we're seeing rapid growth of smart devices, this converging IT and OT, and really practical application of some previously untapped capabilities such as machine learning and, you know, computer vision and in broader terms, right, artificial intelligence. So within this environment of change, right, intelligent water is really the how that we go from the condition that most utilities are in today to, you know, a future state and when we're operating more sustainably.
Ah, that's very interesting. I like that. It's the means to this end here. I'm really interested in, and we talked about this in preparing a little bit, the idea that the water sector is just in this phase of massive data collection, but needing to figure out, like, kind of what are the next steps to then using this data. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And is that where the water sector is? And is the next step really figuring out what to do with all this data that's now being collected?
Sure. And I think we're definitely in what I'll call a transition period, right? We're past the period of data collection just because we can, right? Because the sensor technology and communication technology is out there. And we're not quite at that period where we are fully utilizing the data and really getting not only the greatest business value out of a specific data point, but also having that data best empower the utility workforce to make the best decisions possible. Right? We live in this connected world. There's supposed to be over 500 billion connected devices by 2030, right? So this is all here and happening, and we're in that transition period right now.
Wow. I mean, a lot of good stuff there, but that fact about 500 billion, you said? Connected devices. I mean, that's exponential or outnumbers the people on the planet. So that's amazing. Is the water sector searching for direction when it comes to some of those things you mentioned, artificial intelligence, machine learning, or is it that they don't believe that that's really a near-term reality? Or is the water sector scared to make the leap to those platforms? What's your assessment?
Yeah, I love to talk about AI specifically within the water sector, right? And I've heard even recently from multiple utilities throughout the U.S. that there are a number of startups knocking on their door, ready to apply AI technologies and improve the utility in many different ways. I mean, going back to 2015, there was 28 product launches alone for digital technologies within the water sector. So it's here and it's happening today. But often, a lot of the conversations around these really advanced technologies are in the context of AI being this black box, right? And, you know, breaking news, AI is not a black box in most cases. So my hope is that through our research, utilities can better understand what is AI, how it can be used, and what's the value of beginning to use it today rather than 20 years from now? And to answer the second part of that question, right, is is it really a near-term reality? So there's an industry expert from Google that believes that AI will transform the water industry over the next 20 years in the same way that the internet has transformed our sector in the past 20 years. So, you know, if you and I were having this discussion 20 years ago, I think we would probably say that the internet may not have an impact on the water sector, right? We're in the business of treating water. Yet today, everyone has a smartphone, and on average, we use it every few minutes throughout the day and can even get notifications when processes don't go as intended, or, you know, if there's anything that we need to attend to directly to our smartphones.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Wow, that is cool to look back 20-some years, and what did we think about the internet then and what it was going to mean? Well, you might have to have a web page for your utility or something, but it certainly has done much more than that. A little side question about artificial intelligence. People hear this phrase and probably have a whole range of definitions they put on it or envision it in different ways, like all the way to, you know, robots and all this kind of stuff. Maybe that's why it's a black box. But what is artificial intelligence, really?
You know, one of the more common questions that surround this advanced analytics topic within the water sector, right? I often hear people use the term machine learning interchangeably with artificial intelligence, when really machine learning is an example of one aspect of artificial intelligence, right? But that true meaning of artificial intelligence is not only the learning aspect, but also the sensing and reasoning and engaging aspects. Pulling those all together provides an artificial intelligence environment. Wow. And we're even today, we're kind of in this narrow AI where it's very specific to address, you know, one problem. And in the future, as we become more human-centric and really broaden that definition, we can leverage and you know, really expand how AI can be used within the water sector.
Okay, that's helpful for me in my understanding of it as well. You know, you mentioned how Arcadis is really looking at these issues and really done some research and put together a report on demystifying intelligent water. Why has that been a focus for you?
I mean, the trends within the water sector, and then when I refer to the water sector, right, I refer to, you know, water utilities, wastewater utilities, stormwater. These really are things that we need to pay attention to, right? If you look at the AWWA State of the Water Industry report from last year, you know, water and sewer rates are increasing faster than inflation. The state of the water sector is declining. Water demand is declining as well. So you have rates increasing and demand declining with rate-driven models. And we really have this broad front of these acute and chronic stressors that are really requiring an improved resilience. So it really comes down to affordability and resilience. But at the end of the day, it's really all about the people, right? It's about our workforce and, more importantly, the customers for the water utilities.
We're at this critical juncture, it sounds like. We've got some big challenges. You mentioned a few, but we've also got, you know, the impacts of climate change, and we've got, you know, workforce needs in terms of numbers and skill set. And so intelligent water is a really important area for the water sector to leverage right now as we're facing all these challenges, right?
Right. You know, there's another statistic that only 21% of utilities feel they're able to fully cover the cost of providing water today. Right.
Wow.
That's a pretty scary number. In our experience, right, application of intelligent water and actually having projects and getting meaningful results really provides that aha moment for utilities, right, where they can reallocate funds in orders of magnitude greater than they once thought they could.
Wait, let's talk about that a little more, about kind of the affordability that you mentioned, and what role can intelligent water play in making, you know, water more affordable for people?
Sure. So let's just kind of contextualize that affordability topic, right? The U.S. municipal utilities manage $1.25 trillion of assets for water, wastewater, and stormwater, right? Many of those assets are at or near the end of their useful life. So, you know, we've heard the topic of asset management being a very popular one recently. And when you can apply those intelligent water technologies, our research has shown that utilities throughout the U.S. can save over $17 billion on their assets just within the next decade by applying those technologies. So it's really about making what you have as a utility not only more affordable to your customers, but really just understanding from the customer point of view what we need to do, and understanding that we have to change in order to be sustainable financially a decade from now.
Can you give like an example of how intelligent water could be applied to realize some kind of cost savings or something? I think asset management is one area where that's really big, right?
You know, we could talk for days on specific examples, but one that I like to really talk about is thinking about an operator, a frontline operator at a treatment facility, right? We today live in this world where we're going beyond data-driven and really looking at dashboards and trying to extract some insight in real time from all our processes. So we have many utilities out there that are developing dashboards based on their processes to look at performance and look at ways they can improve and optimize, right? But you know, I haven't heard a single utility that's willing to allow a cloud-based AI to actually make changes to the process, right? Mm. So we have this, you know, how can we actually use this technology? How can we apply AI? How can we make a financial change or improvement when we have issues like cybersecurity, which can't be ignored, right? And really, that's when you take the perspective of applying an operator or a human-centric focus on AI, right? Then you have this, all of a sudden you have this operator or human within the loop, so that the operator can then see, oh, hey, I can save, you know, so many dollars by changing this specific operation for the next 4 hours while I'm here, right? And those little things, those small steps over time can make a substantial difference in the financial impacts for that utility.
The AI side of things and predictive analytics, you know, we talked about a little affordability, and how do you apply that to resilience, to a utility's resilience? How can AI and analytics play into that side of things?
When we talk about resilience, right, there's absolutely two primary areas, right? We have those acute shocks, which are often what come to mind when people think about utility resilience. And then we have the chronic stressors, which are things like workforce, right? So if you apply predictive analytics to a utility, you know, it's pretty easy to see how that can really positively impact your rebound from acute shocks, right? From when a large hurricane hit Houston over the past year, right? They said that they physically could not access some of their facilities, right? But being able to be connected from there and adapt to that, you know, the changing conditions and bounce back from them, they were able to do that because they had technology in place to do so.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember I actually had the chance to go down to Houston and talk to some of those operators, and they talked very much about that, about not being able to get into facilities and having to work on things remotely. Amazing. Which kind of leads me to one of the big questions, not just in the water workforce, but in the broad overall workforce, and that's, you know, technology, artificial intelligence, all this digitization going on. How much is that going to replace actual workers? That's a big question, I know. But
yeah, absolutely. And one that, as you start to get into more mature discussions about AI, it's absolutely at the center of the discussions, right? And it's for good reason. It's really easy to think about machines taking over, jobs being replaced by technology. And, you know, of course, to some degree, technology is going to impact the roles we have, but it's not going to replace many of our roles, right? Actually, a workforce that's enabled by today's technology will be immensely more valuable to an organization in the future than a workforce without that technology. So, you know, when we talk about machines replacing humans, I think it's much more of a humans becoming more valuable to an organization based on that technology.
Interesting. One of the things that I've phrases I've heard and heard from you is this is collective intelligence. What does that mean?
Sure. So the topic of in general, measuring intelligence in groups of things is well researched, right? We know that, you know, the measure of intelligence of any specific group, it could be a group of subject matter experts in a conference room, or it could be a group of supercomputers in a server facility, right? Any of the intelligence of any one of those groups alone doesn't come close to the measure of intelligence when you have those people plus machines and technology collectively working together, right? So that's what collective intelligence is. And I'm sure you've heard of the analytics maturity model, where you go from descriptive analytics to diagnostic, predictive, and prescriptive, right?
Yep.
We often think of AI as the highest level of analytics today, but I really believe that in the water sector, the power of collective intelligence, or CI, is that step beyond AI, where that people plus technology collectively can make the best decisions and really are necessary to make those decisions as we move forward for the next decade.
You know, that leads me to this idea that, you know, the possibility that a tech-focused future, where we're obviously very much headed, can still be human-centric. And I think that's something that that you all at Arcadis have kind of really explored in this report of yours. So could you talk about that idea of a tech-focused future being human-centric?
Sure. So there's a number of examples how a tech-focused future can really be human-centric. You know, on the very basic level, right, giving people the opportunities to develop, right, to attract and retain the workforce of the future, right, that's a necessary operating principle of utility, right? So really having a human-focused approach to that, to adopting those technologies, can help build your workforce. But it goes much deeper than that. Right, there's customer relationships, and having that, you know, instead of having a negative call of a customer calling the utility to complain they have a very high water bill because they had a break, right, the utility can then be, you know, flip that over and call the customer saying, hey, you have unusual usage, right, you might have a break, let's try to solve this before you have a large bill. But you know, often I hear the term of data-driven decisions, right? And, you know, we're going to move to data-driven decisions. And I really think we're beyond that, right? And, you know, I talked about dashboards earlier, and maybe going from data-driven to dashboard-driven decisions or insight-driven decisions. But it's really much, you know, deeper than that, right? The water sector is really people-driven, no matter how you look at it. And what's changing is the way that people are empowered by technology. So that's the future. It's absolutely a human-centric future when it's understanding that it's really people that drive our sector, and the technology that empowers them is changing and advancing. So collectively, you have that greater ability and intelligence to make decisions.
Where would you say we are in this transition to intelligent water, given that technology always changes and will probably always change? It's a never-ending transition. But where are we in that process? And do you think that we're going to see some real quick leap or quick shift, or is it going to be more of like a gradual long-term evolution to incorporating all this? What's your thoughts?
Sure. So I believe we're right at the tipping point for intelligent water, where the early adopters are reaping the benefits. Everyone's starting to see that. And the majority of utilities are now beginning their journey to adopting intelligent water technology, right? And a lot of the data within our research supports that, both from the research provided by Bluefield and by American Water Works and others. So I'm really excited to dive into that and provide some of those details in our research.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Well, so it's like that, it's that curve, that bell curve, right? Where you have the early adopters, and then after that comes a much bigger chunk of the curve that gets on board with that behavior change.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the Rogers curve. And typically when I'm asked on that question, I try to draw that and kind of show we're right at the tipping point of the, you know, the concept's been proven, and now everyone's ready to go adopt it.
So you think over the next like 3 to 5 years, there'll be a big surge?
Yeah, it's It's hard to put a time frame to it, and to answer the second part of your question, right? It's definitely a long-term journey, right? So every utility, their time frame is different, but the critical aspect of that today is the self-awareness and mapping where you are on that curve, right? And looking at, where do we need to be in 3 to 5 years, or maybe 10 to 20 years, and what's the technology that's going to get us there, and what's our plan? Right? What's our digital strategic plan to get there?
Sure. A couple other things that jumped out at me in the report that I really would like to get your take on is this idea of a fit for future utility. I like the sound of that, but I'm wondering if you could explain it a little bit more.
We talk about just an organizational health and, asset fitness, bringing this all together. That's really the how we define fit for future, right? It's applying concepts that we're familiar with, like our health, right, to the organization and fitness, to our assets, and bringing that all together. And, it's really preparing the workforce and the operations for empowering digital innovation and preparing the organization to remain human-centric. And really focus on the customer experience more than we have in the past.
Ah, okay. And you also talk about the idea that water utilities don't just exist in isolation. They're very much a part of the community. And as we see cities kind of going under this the same transformation, trying to become smart cities, that water utilities have a role to play there. And I wonder if you could talk about that.
If we look into the past, rarely is water discussed in smart cities. But that's definitely changing. And I think it's changing for two reasons. As utilities implement digital technologies such as AMI, or an advanced metering, right, it really provides that foundation of a broad sensor network, a broad communication network throughout the city. And that can be leveraged by many other initiatives. And the sensor and communication networks are very core to developing a smart city. Second, as cities really understand and value the one water concept, right? That measurement and capture of water throughout the urban water cycle is really embedded with an intelligent water system. So I think as both of these initiatives, smart city and intelligent water, mature, it's going to very clearly align and be merged with in many different ways.
I mean, I see lots of articles and social media churn on smart cities, so there's definitely a lot of momentum on that front. I guess last question for you. There's a lot to go going on in intelligent water. All these different aspects we talked about. I think it can be daunting, dizzying to a utility, figuring out kind of where to go. And I'm wondering if you had what your advice would be to a utility who's kind of looking to, I guess, take the first step or the big step into intelligent water. What would you recommend that they do as a starting point?
The starting point is the self-awareness, right? And I've heard basically two opinions or viewpoints from utilities. One is we want to adopt technology that solves our problems. So we should start with identifying what our greatest challenges are today and then figure out how technology can improve those, right? And then the opposing viewpoint is, we don't fully understand what our problems are, so let's implement advanced technology like AI, right? And it can help identify, then solve what our problems are. So it really comes down to moving forward, right? And that's the first step that you need to take, knowing that that first step may be different for various utilities, right? If we sit here and think, oh, this is great, absolutely see the value, but our utility is going to implement this after we all retire, right? There's a significant lost value there, but that's a common discussion that happens.
Sure. No, absolutely. Well, Jim, tons of good information here, and I think the report from Arcadis lays out these issues in a very thoughtful way that people can benefit from taking a look at. We could go on and on into any of these angles for a while, but I appreciate the time and the perspective.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Travis.
Words on water.